This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Zaporizhia is in the hands of gunmen, the Russian army. It has enslaved the Ukrainian staff that is loyal to Kyiv to run two online of the six containment buildings in a 5.7 gigawatt facility. What is to be done that the UN watchdog IAEA is denied access both to the plant and to the workers? And also, clearly, from a plain English reading of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, of which to which Russia is a signatory, there is violation up and down the line. So, Henry, what is to be done? NPT is not the same as IAEA. Can we get these two together, or do we have to proceed on parallel tracks?
I think the common sense of the statute which created the IAEA makes it very clear that they are, the IAEA, to report to the UN Security Council's matters that would be of interest and concern to the General Assembly and the UN Security Council. True enough, the NPT was created much more than a decade, almost two decades after, 68, a little more than a decade after the NPT. But the common sense of it would be that the NPT is of interest to the UN. There is a staffer there at the UN, Deputy Director for Disarmament, that deals with these matters. The NPT Review Conference is held at the New York headquarters for the UN. So it's clearly the enforcement of the NPT clearly is of interest to the UN, and the NPT specifies that international inspections are required to be in compliance with the NPT. So the common sense of it is there ought to be people dedicated to communicating these concerns to the folks at the UN, and there ought to be a full-time staff at the UN fielding these reports. It is not the case at either institution that there is any full-time person doing anything of the sort. I find that rather bizarre. It certainly does not compare very well with the Chemical Weapons Convention, which has an organization at The Hague with lots of people, and the Comprehensive Test Ban, which has an entire organization full of staff to act as the secretariat. Everyone assumes the IAEA is the secretariat for the NPT, but neither institution behaves as though it is. And I think that should be corrected and can be done so administratively. This does not require major disputes and votes. I think it's just common sense. So that's the first thing.
You provide a quote from the IAEA statute created in the 1950s. Section 19, a member which has persistently violated the provisions of this statute or of any agreement entered into by pursuant to this statute may be suspended from the exercise of the privileges and rights of membership by the General Conference acting by a two-thirds majority of the members present and voting upon recommendation by the Board of Governors. Russia is clearly suspect of having violated every provision. Is there a move at the UN, at the IAEA, to sanction, to exclude it, to take away the privileges?
Not to my knowledge. And that's odd, because I think if the United States, which is a very influential member of the IAEA, I think arguably the most influential from a financial and political standpoint, made it clear that it wanted to take a poll on that, it would get those two-third votes. And that alone might pressure the Russians to give access under the Ukrainian agreement with the IAEA for the proper routine inspections to take place. I see no movement in that direction, and I think that's on us more than it is on the IAEA.
At this point, the IAEA, are they the responsible body to go to say, where's all the plutonium? Are they the people to ask?
Yes.
And right now, according to the Wall Street Journal, they don't have an answer. So let's move over to the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Let's be careful, though. It is ultimately, you're right, the reason we want inspections is to know that materials haven't been diverted to make bombs. I think in practical terms, in this case, It's probably not the number one issue because Russia doesn't need the plutonium to make more bombs, and the Ukrainians are not diverting it to make bombs. But the precedent that this bad behavior sets for other scenes is hair-raising.
The Non-Proliferation Treaty, Russia's a signatory. Do they have obligations under this that the UN can press to give access to the plan?
I don't think that authority applies to this problem. It's the IAEA statute that is the legal hammer, if you will, and anvil.
What I'm imagining here is that no one anticipated this circumstance. Is that your summary, Henry? That they never thought it through.
I think you put your finger on something very important. Some of the people who were around prior to my generation that I'm friendly with used to cynically refer to the IAEA as the creation of an atomic gentleman's club, where people would confirm the good behavior of good actors, but that it was not very well designed or really intended to go find bad actors. Now, I think that's point one. And it was to encourage nuclear energy and reassure people that nothing untoward was going on. It was not to warn them about how many things could go wrong and discourage nuclear power. So, I mean, there is a certain institutional cultural bias in the very institution, but it does have the mission of safeguarding against military diversions. And I think it's kind of lost the plot on that too much. I mean, it's understandable that it would be secondary and get repressed. But I think it's time now to pay more attention to that. And clearly, it would be very useful for them to start thinking about and holding conferences, which they have not yet done, on what happens in war zones with facilities. How vulnerable are they? What do the authorities of the IAEA have to deal with the contingencies? How do they fortify the weaknesses there so that the IAEA doesn't get cut off from doing its routine work? They do not talk openly enough about that, nor do they explore it. I mean, one of the things that I think that would be useful to do is have a parallel effort to what currently the IAEA has. They have an initiative to walk a country through how to launch a nuclear program.
We have about 30 seconds, Henry. Go ahead.
What to do, how to set things up in a regulatory fashion. I think we need a parallel effort. What are the vulnerabilities that your plant might be subjected to militarily? What do you need to do to protect it? How likely is it that it might be militarily assaulted? We need a parallel effort, and the IAEA needs to be doing that and facing reality, because this could be the future beyond Ukraine.
Henry Sokolsky, Executive Director, the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, asking questions that right now do not have answers about the gunman at Zaporizhia in Ukraine. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,